Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, talking this week about some good news for people who thought your services were only available to those who have large estates, lots of tax issues. There are actually plans for people with modest means.
That's right.
Discussing that a couple shows here now, and you're continuing that this week. And you talked last week about what's the difference between a simple trust versus a full trust. Maybe you'll review that. But you're also going to get into something that I know concerns a lot of people who maybe have modest means, and that is the whole issue of Medicaid, that a lot of people are going to end up having to have Medicaid. And are there trusts to help people in that situation?
Yeah, there really are. And so let me say, and we talked about this last week, which is we're talking about tools. What tool might be right for you? It is absolutely necessary for you to sit down with an estate planner of your choice, someone that you can trust, to make sure that your circumstance is reviewed in totality. So I am bringing you education. I'm not asking you to go in a certain direction. So when we talk about tools, it really is just so important that you sit down and talk to somebody, an estate planner, to make sure that the right tool is put into your right circumstance to protect you. That's what we want to do. An estate planner's job is to protect you first. So we talked last week about what does a simple trust versus a full trust do. And the good news is it really opens up a wide range of services for everybody. It doesn't matter if you have very little financially or whether you have been just really blessed and you have multiple millions of dollars and have the ability now to start turning your attention towards extreme generosity. So trusts are a tool that ultimately protect. They protect who? Number one, it always protects the person who's creating it. If a trust does not do that, it is a bad trust. Mm. So number one, the job of every estate planner is to protect you as an individual first. Then when you pass away, then we can turn our attention towards fulfilling the vision that God has given you. So I'm going to review that briefly, which is step one. I encourage you, seek out the heartbeat of God with what you are to do with your estate. It does, again, it does not matter how much you have. It doesn't matter if you have a lot at your disposal or if you have very, very little. I've made mention of this before in past programs, which is the story of the widow's mite. When Jesus was watching the widow give a very, very insignificant amount of money by people's standards, little did she know that the Savior of the world would be recording that story. Mm. And that offering was going to be a story to the end of time. And so do not quantify how much you have as whether or not it can be prolifically influential in God's kingdom. So your first job is to find the heartbeat of what God wants you to do, whether it's towards ministry or whether it's towards your family or it's a combination. Find that first. Then after that, then it's time to come to an estate planner. Of course, that's a hard proposition for you, then get to an estate planner as soon as possible to let them guide you through the process. So we talked about different tools. There's ones for modest means. There's ones for those who have been highly blessed and everything in between. So yes, we have the ability to assist everybody, but until we engage in communication, I can't assess what you specifically need. And that kind of leads us to, well, today's discussion is very specific, which is, I have a fear not Paul Grant, but if the listener is saying, Paul, I have a fear that I don't have very much money and it keeps me awake at night, that I might be forced to spend everything I have, or my spouse and I might be forced to spend everything that we have, and we are going to be left with nothing, and we are going to be at the mercy of institutions. So are there things that we can do to help protect against that concern or that fear? And the answer is absolutely. There are multiple tools that we can use, and I want to talk about what that means. So today's discussion might be right down your alley if this is something that you have been wrestling with in your mind, which is, but what if I need long-term assistance? What if I need Medicaid assistance?
Yeah.
So let's unpack that. So when does somebody need Medicaid assistance? Now, Medicaid is aid for those who do not have very much money or no money at all. So that is different than the Medicare system. It is care for people who are over a certain age, and based upon your work history and everything else, you get a benefit from the federal government. So aid typically comes from a state agency. Usually it is state ran. There are federal programs to assist as well. And as a matter of fact, there are overarching federal laws that then guide the state system.
And Medicaid is better in some states than others, right?
Yes.
Because Medicaid plans are run better in some states.
Yes, and that's what I mean, that it's a very specific state-by-state system. So there's overarching federal laws that a state cannot offend, but some states are more generous beyond those federal mandates, and other states, unfortunately, like Washington, are more limited.
Really, with all the wealth in Washington.
Yep. And
be stingy with the Medicaid.
Yes, correct. and we in Washington does not go or give greater deference to society, for those in society who need assistance. So they ride the theory that what is mandated of us, we will do, but we're not going to be more generous. And so that's where we get into different rules and different regulations state by state. I'm only licensed in Michigan and Washington. I could compare some of those state laws, but I can't do other state laws. So understand, a federal mandate guides state law or state rules, and the state can be more generous, but Washington is not. So Washington is actually a very, very difficult state as it comes to this topic. So that is unfortunate news. And all of a sudden, I have not produced any further peace of mind to anybody out there yet.
So all the more need for a Medicaid Protection Trust in Washington.
Yes, that's right. And really, that's a very, very good point. I am always talking about do a plan. Be prepared. It is the worst case scenario to be in a situation that I'm trying to rescue somebody from versus planning and having control of the process. Let me communicate it like this. If I am trying to rescue somebody from their circumstance, that's when attorneys cost a lot of money. And I'm not making an attorney joke here. A lot of times when I talk about attorneys and money, I'm making jokes. This is not a joke. If you have an emergency situation, attorneys will cost a lot more. When we can take our time and plan and strategically create a plan for you, that is when it is at the cheapest that we can do it. I'm not saying it's going to be cheap. All I'm saying is that that is the best case scenario, and it gives you control. Everybody, here's one of the biggest problems when people get into emergency situations, and then the family starts to creep in, and the biggest issue that people feel when they are in that predicament is that they feel like they are losing control and that everybody is trying to control them. And we don't like that feeling. Humans don't like the feeling of being controlled. Why has communism failed? Because they controlled people. Why will this socialistic agenda that is out there in America trying to creep in. Why will it ultimately fail? Because we have freedoms in America. We are not designed to be controlled. So therefore, when resistance comes from the one we're trying to help, because they are feeling a loss of control. And so not only is it more expensive to actually face an emergency situation, but it causes the most anxiety for everybody involved because of that feeling of loss of control, to where the kids are trying to dominate me. Now the attorney's not on my side and everybody's telling me what to do and I've lost control. So it is always, always the best scenario that we are not in that predicament. We need to be prepared, and there are ways and tools that we can prepare your estate for a future event so that if and when this circumstance arises, that you actually feel in control because you know that you made the plan and that the plan begins to unfold before you exactly as you created it. That is your control. And then the relationships are aiding you instead of controlling you. Then family drama is kept at a minimum because the plan is beginning to unfold exactly as it was supposed to, exactly as you designed it for yourself. That is ultimate control. Taking today's ability to plan for a future event that may actually take place and putting you in the driver's seat. So even when you will begin to truly lose control of the circumstance, you have a sense of control because you actually created the road that you are traveling down instead of somebody else trying to veer the vehicle off to a different path where you feel unstable and insecure. So planning right now for future events is always, always my mantra. I mean, I always talk about everybody needs to do estate planning. And this is why, if you have modest means, there are things that we can do to set you up to remain in control, even when that control is actually being taken from you because your body is not allowing you to remain in control anymore. We need to prepare for the future. You can't do it by just simply being in stagnation mode. You must do planning, and we have tools and tricks to help you. Everything perfectly legal, everything perfectly aligned with the law, so that we can protect you and protect your assets and protect your long-term vision that God has given you of how you are to be taken care of, and then ultimately how your family or God's kingdom is being taken care of. So we need to plan.
Plans for modest means. There are such things, and Paul would love to discuss them further with you if you're intrigued by today's show. You have questions. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. There's upcoming educational seminars. Head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show this week with Paul Grant, looking at plans for modest means, maybe the scenario where people are needing some kind of Medicaid protection trust at a crisis point of health in their life, and there are plans. Do they work in these situations, Paul?
Yeah, they can. It depends on the circumstance, of course, but there's always ways that we can legally begin to protect assets as long as they're going to be utilized for the individual. So in crisis mode, the options are very, very limited. So again, it goes back to what I was saying before break, which is it is always a better scenario to make sure that we are planning our estate in anticipation of someone not needing Medicaid assistance. When we are in crisis mode, which is that someone is feeling ill, they are unable to assist themselves, so now they need care that is far more advanced than what they were needing in the past. So in other words, they need to move to a long-term care facility. They need to move to some sort of a home, or they need nursing help, or they need someone to live with them on a regular basis. So in other words, they're unable to manage their own life any longer. They are truly at a place to where they need attention at all times. This is where Medicare will fail. So Medicare, again, the care you get from the government, has limitations on how much care they will give you. If you do not have a road to recovery, they will stop paying your medical bills for that issue. Now, that's a very broad term. That's a generality. That is not a specific legal comment, but it is a concept. So if you are in that circumstance, that's where your money has to substitute the care that you need. And that's when the thought processes of I've got to spend everything I have in order to get the government to then step in the gap again and actually assist someone who has no money. So if you are a single individual, you can only have $2,000 to your name, one vehicle, and possibly a primary residence. Okay? $2,000. So in other words, if you have a $100,000 IRA and you are in a medical emergency so that Medicare will no longer cover those expenses, you are going to be required to cash out your IRA and spend everything that you have down to $2,000 before you can apply for state assistance. Now, here's the bummer, is that you have to pay taxes on that money, and the state doesn't care. It does not care that it is a tax-deferred mechanism like an IRA. They will require for you to spend it. Now, I know that doesn't sound fair, but that's the system, is that the Medicaid system is to assist somebody that does not have finances. It is a social safety net. And the theory at large, whether we like it or not, is that if you have finances, then you can pay it yourself. And when you don't have finances, then society will step in through a government system and provide you with assistance. But we were not going to do it before that. So we don't care if there's a tax consequence. If you have a second property, so let's say you have a piece of raw land that you had purchased, or you have a second piece of property that was used as a vacation because your parents gave it to you, and now you have your primary home and a vacation home and virtually no other money, you will need to sell that property. You must elicit the assets to sell and to utilize to ensure that you can support yourself until the government will step in. It's a harsh system. But again, if we go back to the social value, which is not until you've used all your resources should society step in and actually really support you.
Actually, in some ways, I think that that's actually proper.
I understand. And it's a double-edged sword, is it not?
Yeah. If you've got the money, I don't think you should be expecting other people's to pay your bills for you until you are actually broke. so to speak.
Correct. Although that the societal thought process is not moving in that direction, right? Which is that the rich should pay for everybody.
Right.
Okay. So, but we're talking about where do you qualify? So if we had been prepared, so if we had done planning in advance, could have we created a particular type of trust to where you say, you know what, Paul, that family property is so valuable to me. It may not be worth a lot if I sold it, but because of the sentimental value, it's been passed down for generations. It is really important that I keep that in the family. Well, there's a thing called a five-year look-back rule, which is that if we had taken care of that property and appropriately designated and put it into a different type of trust, it's called an irrevocable trust, that you do not use it and you don't have access to it. So in other words, you have to be willing to actually give up your power and control over it, that we could actually set it aside for your family. And then...
So you can protect assets.
We can protect assets.
From Medicaid.
And that is a legal way to do it. If it was done 5 years before the time that you needed assistance. And so again, this is called planning. If you are in your 60s, certainly within your 70s, and you have a scenario to where you say, I'm really concerned about this issue, there are tools that we have that we can protect family legacy issues, but make sure that you are getting the proper care should you need it. And so that kind of goes back and maybe offends Mark's thought process, which is, well, the family got it and we didn't use it and cash it out. Well, that's okay because it's a legal system.
Can you do that with the primary residence that you live in?
Absolutely.
Can your home be as long as in there for at least 5 years?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's exactly right. So many people who don't have much cash, okay, but have a primary home, they have the viewpoint and again, I'm not making a judgment call of whether their viewpoint is right or wrong. I am using legal structures that to in order to protect people. If their value is that, look, I've got this home and I really, really want to make sure that my kids or that the ministries or that someone else receives something from me, that is really one of my greatest values in life. We can do it, but we have to be ahead of the curve.
And it needs to be a paid-for home, too, I'd assume, not a home that has a mortgage on it still.
That's an excellent, excellent qualification, and that is 100% correct.
Yeah. And so, you can't put a home that has a mortgage on it into a trust and protect it.
That's accurate, not unless we paid off the mortgage first. And okay. So, yes, there is what is called a due-on-sale clause in every mortgage, which is if you transfer it away from you, then you are going to... you are required to pay the entire mortgage off. And so the mortgage is due on a transfer. It actually should be more appropriately titled a due on transfer clause instead of a due on sale. So it's actually when you transfer the home, you got to pay the mortgage. And so that is in every mortgage that is out there. So very good point. So, we come back to this whole issue of you got to plan. There are ways. Don't let fear grip you. You can come and sit down and talk with us. Sit down and talk with a different attorney that you trust implicitly to get these answers so that there is a plan set up to meet your objectives. And that goes back to issue number one. What has God told you? What has he dropped in your heart as a value to you to say, utilize your assets like this? It could be for ministry. It could be for the kids. It could be for other things, nieces and nephews. When that picture arises in you, even if you don't have much cash, there are ways that we can actually bring that vision to pass. But we can't do it without planning. And if you are in a health emergency, the options become far less. Now, I can still do things. If you are married, there are great tools that we can use. We can set up an asset protection trust for your spouse at the first one to die so that it's a Medicaid protected trust. We can purchase different types of annuities where the income can come back to a spouse and it doesn't count against the one who needs assistance if your spouse is in an emergency health circumstance. Now, these are just tools again, and it doesn't help me just to throw tools out. It doesn't help you. The only thing I want you to hear is that there are options if you're in an emergency. There are better options if you're not in the emergency yet. So get to us before the emergency. If you're in the emergency, it's okay. We can still help you. And so there are plans for modest means individuals, and we can help.
Okay, if you're intrigued by today's discussion, there are plans for people with modest means. And if you have more questions, how do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's a way to communicate with us. There's past podcasts for more educational things. And also for educational purposes, there's upcoming educational workshops. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, always great stuff on the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.